Well, good morning, Emmanuel Church. How are you feeling today? I mean this with all my heart. It is a super big blessing, massive blessing for me to be here with you today and be on this platform, be able to share my heart and God's word with you today. If this is your very first time joining us at any one of our locations, microsites, online, here physically at the Stones Crossing campus, we want to give you another special welcome. Can we give it up for our first-time guest? Someone has invited you. It's our joy to have you in the house today. If you would text the word hello to 65248, even if you're watching online, we will send you a t-shirt in the mail just to say thanks for being our guest. Of course, welcome back to everyone else. Last week, we called an audible and we did a little bit of a different talk because of the recent events in the news, in our culture today. And before I even got to the message last week, I challenged all of you to kind of jump on board and help out a lady in our church that was having car trouble and she's trying to run her business. And you guys responded in a massive way. Not only did we raise enough money to buy her a new car, we raised more than we actually needed. So this week we went to a car dealership in town and we got her a brand new Kia Sorento. Amazing, amazing. So proud of our church. If you gave a dollar, $5, $10, whatever you gave, $100, some of you gave a little bit more, thank you so much. We're gonna be able to take some of that extra money and bless some other people with it as well. We'll keep you updated on that. But I just love the church. I love a church that where we can come together and see someone in need and take care of them. That is what the church is all about. Amen? Amen. So thank you again if you participated in that. You are going to help her run her business. And so thankful for that. My heart is full. So today, I want to kind of continue our series that we started 2 weeks ago. If you weren't here, we started a series called Ask Chat. And we decided to have a little fun with ChatGPT. Hopefully I can get that right. I think the first week I said ChatGPT, and my daughter was texting from Lynchburg like, oh my gosh, Mom, tell Dad this is ChatGPT. So I got to get it right. So hopefully I got it right today. But today, over half of Americans are using ChatGPT on a regular basis. Like we're using Google just for all kinds of information. And we just decided to have a little fun with that so that we could talk about some serious issues that we're actually dealing with. And we talked about how to stay in love over the long haul because it's really difficult to stay married today and have a healthy marriage. So if you missed that, maybe you can go back and check that out. I think that was super helpful for you. And so that's kind of what we're doing. Now, by no means are we saying, hey, we're putting our stamp of approval on ChatGPT. Gosh, I can't say it right, GPT. We're not saying like it has all the answers or it's 100% right all the time. In fact, this week I was looking for a particular quote on mental health because that's what we're talking about today. And I was looking for a specific quote from a specific author and Chat gave me a quote. And I was like, oh man, that's really good. And so then I said, Chat, where did you find this quote by this particular author? And Chat said, well, let me see if I can find it. And so it did a little searching and said, oh man, I really can't find what book that is from. And I'm like, well, then why did you give it to me? I mean, so I'm just letting you know, like, Chat is not the be-all, end-all of truth or knowledge, okay? It does its best, but it is, you know, we're not saying that, hey, it has all the answers. That's what we have the Bible for, to help us out there. So we're just having some fun with that idea. It's amazing that over half of Americans are using some form of AI without even knowing it. Like, people are just unaware. It's becoming part of our society. And so this week, I decided to ask Chat a very serious question that I've been pondering for a long time. And here's how the question goes. You ready for this? Hey, Chat, our sauna is one of the best places in the world for men to have meaningful conversations. That was really well worded. Chat responded, real question, real answer. That's a really interesting idea. And in many ways, yes, saunas can be one of the most best places for men to have meaningful conversations, and here's why. And it gave me six reasons. I thought that was really helpful. Number one, there's no distractions. Number two, there's no agenda. Number three, it's a culturally accepted talk zone. Number four, you're not looking directly at each other. Now, if you're a dude, you know how important that is, right? And if you do look at each other in the sauna eye to eye, that's a little weird. I love this one. Number five, shared discomfort equals bonding. That's true for men. We're all suffering together in the heat. And then number six, this was my favorite, physical vulnerability fosters emotional openness. Well, that was very observant. Chad goes on to say, you're stripped down, literally. That physical vulnerability often lowers emotional defenses, making men more likely to let their guard down and speak honestly. So yes, while saunas are not the best place for every man, many men find that a sauna hits the sweet spot between relaxed, raw, and real. Thought that was really good. And then Chad asked me this question, would you say that reflects your own experience? I would say so, Mr. Chat. Now, that's not the question we asked today, but it is fun. So the question I want to talk to you today about is actually something pretty serious, because it's something that many, many, many people are dealing with today. In fact, millions of Americans are dealing with it. I want to talk to you today about mental health. It's incredible. As we did a little research for this talk, 57% of adult Americans deal with some form of mental illness. That could be depression or anxiety. 14.1% of Americans, that's 5.5% of the entire population, have what's called severe mental illness. And that's where you have such high anxiety or depression that you really can't even function in your day. It affects your ability to live. 40% of high school students today report some form of mental illness. 20% of high school students say they have struggled with suicidal thoughts. It is a major issue in our world today. The population that is most affected by mental illness right now is the ages 18 to 25. 36% of 18 to 25-year-olds say they have some form of mental struggle going on in their life. And so what we did was we asked a pretty serious question to Chad. We just got the phone out, and this is kind of how we worded it. We said, what do you think is a root cause to the mental health issues that we face as a human race? Now, that's not all we ask. We give it a little bit more prompting. We said, I know there are legitimate neurological deficiencies that lead to mental health problems, but so many of our issues as humans seem like they are self-inflicted. And then here's the final part. What do you think is the root cause for our contribution to our mental unhealth? And then Chat spit out this answer. This is exactly what it said. This is a profound and important question, and you're absolutely right. While some mental health challenges are rooted in biological issues like genetic predispositions, chemical imbalances, or neurological conditions, a large portion of human mental suffering, watch this, seems to come from how we live, think, relate, and choose. So it's acknowledging that there's a portion of it that's chemical and biological and all neurological and all that stuff, but a large portion of the mental health issues today are self-inflicted. And then Chat said this, the root cause is disconnection from self, others, purpose, reality, and the sacred. Now, when I read that, I was like, man, I could not have said that better. Like in my experience as a pastor leading this church for 20 years, this is my 20th year, youth pastor 5 years before that, worked with tons of people in my office through all kinds of struggles of depression, anxiety, fear, all these different, I'm like, wow, that is what I have seen in people's lives. A disconnection from self, a disconnection from others, a disconnection from purpose, reality, a disconnection from the sacred. And those are the root causes or the self-inflicted causes of mental illness. So I want to work through these five issues and show how the Bible actually speaks to each one of these. So if you have a struggle with mental illness, or if you have a friend or family member that struggles with mental illness, take notes, because you can take this stuff and you can bring it to them and use it to help them. And it will also bless you as well today if you struggle with it yourself. So let's talk about the first one. First root cause of mental illness, according to Chad, is disconnection from self, disconnection from self. This is how Chad explains it. We live in a world where we're taught to look outward for validation, identity, success, and even happiness. Many people don't know, watch this, who they really are as a person, what they value, what they believe, or watch this, what gives them inner peace or peace. This creates inner confusion, self-hatred, and anxiety. Is that not what we see in our culture today? We wear masks, suppress emotions, and disconnected from our true needs. We just don't know who we are, what to value, or what to believe in. We're disconnected from ourselves. You know, the philosopher Socrates said this, first step in philosophy, know thyself. Have you heard that? Socrates said that. You have to know who you are. When you don't know who you are, because we live in a culture that is telling you, you know, seek this, and you're valuable if you look like this, and you're valuable if you have this, or if you have this kind of power, or this kind of influence, or these many followers, or whatever. Like, it's a crazy world. If you look outside of yourself for a sense of self, you're gonna be so confused upside down. Like, you know, it's really hard to know what to believe and what to value and who to even trust in today. And that's why I am so glad that God has given us the Bible. I read it every day. I mean, I think I pretty much say that in every sermon. You guys, if you've been here for a while, yes, you hear me say that? Like, I read it every day, every single day without fail. I read it again this morning on my back porch at 5:30. And the reason I read it is because it helps me to know who I am. It helps me to know what's going on in the world and how to deal with life. I would tell you this today, as I go through these five issues, just moment of vulnerability, if it were just me and you sitting at a coffee shop, one-on-one, I would tell you, yeah, I got some issues. I get down from time to time, but I'm doing really well in my mind. Like, my mental health is probably an A. I wouldn't say it's an A+, but it's pretty good. And here's why I would say that. Because I am in the Word of God every day, learning what it says about life, about God, about myself, about the context of life and the world that I live in. And so I'm understanding what's going on, and I'm able to cope and process with the pain and the hurt and the evil, the ups and the downs efficiently, because I'm reading the Word of God every single day. What does the Word of God say about you, about your identity, about who you are, about who I am? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says this, "For you are all," watch this, "children of God." Say that with me. Children of God. Did you know that? When you place faith in Christ, you became a child of God. That is the fundamental reality about who you are. When you ask the question, like, who am I really? The answer is, by faith in Jesus, you have become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is so incredibly important for your mental health, to say, who am I in this crazy world that says you should be this and you should be this, and you're only valuable if you have this, and you're only important if you have this much money, or you live in this kind of house, or drive this kind of car, or have this kind of degree, or have this kind of job. Like, it's so critical to know, okay, I am a child of God. Think about the implications of that. The God of the universe looks at you and says, you are my daughter. You are my son. That means you have access to God. I love you guys, you guys are great, but you're not coming to my house. I mean, maybe a few of you, but most of you are not coming to my house. You're not. I'm your pastor, but probably never gonna be at my dining room table. Probably never gonna eat my food. You might, maybe, 1, 2, 5 of you, I don't know. Most of you are not. But you know who is gonna eat my food? You know who is gonna steal my shoes? You know who is gonna take one of my sweatshirts and wear it as if it's theirs? You wanna know who? My kids. They have access to me, my resources. You don't, they do. Why? Because they're my children. Think about the implications of you being a child of God. You have access to God every single day. That is incredible. And I think about that all the time. Like, I can pause and come before the throne of grace, as the scripture talks about, and I can lay my request before God and enjoy fellowship with him every single day, every single moment. I can walk and talk with Jesus and have his spirit live inside of me. That's incredible. That brings so much emotional health to my mind and my soul. You are a child of God. Oh, but I'm just getting started. You know what else the Bible says? It tells us what to value. Like, people who struggle with mental health, they don't know what's important. They don't know where to put their time or their energy or their money. Like, the world is telling us to put our time and our energy and our money to all kinds of things. And the Bible is super clear on what is most important and what you should be seeking after and what you should be valuing. Watch this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek, look after, find the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It is the place where God is acting. It's the place, it's the things that God is doing. What is God? You wake up, God, what do you want today? What are you up to today? What are you seeking today? Who do you want to bless today? Well, I want to join you in all of that activity. Like, what's your will today? What's the prayer Jesus gave us? Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? On earth, in my life today, as it is done in heaven. That, see, people who struggle with mental health, they don't know where to put their energy. They don't know where to put their focus. They're all over the place. What is important in this life? Here's what God says. You know what's important? My activity. My activity, what I'm doing in this world. Join me in what I am up to. And an emotionally healthy, strong person, mentally strong person, they're simply seeking the kingdom. They feel God's presence. They're working alongside. In fact, one author said it like this. You know what prayer is? Prayer is talking to God about what you and he are doing today. That'll change your prayer life. You say, some of you struggle. I don't know what to pray about. Pray about what God's doing. Pray about how you're gonna join him in what he's doing today. Blessing someone at work, working on a project, whatever it is that you're doing with your family. Like, God, we're doing this together. So a mentally strong person understands what's important. They understand who they are, but they also know what to believe in. When times get hard, when things get difficult, Jesus said this in John chapter 14, let your hearts, watch this, let not your hearts be troubled. Why would he say that? Because life is difficult. There's evil in this world. Enemy occupied territory. That's what we talked about last week. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Trust in me. I am sovereign. One of the best verses for mental health in the Bible is Romans 8:28. It says this, for God works all things together for those who love him. He works all things together for the good of those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. That means he's gonna work the good and he's gonna work the bad. He's gonna work it out for you if you choose to love him and follow him. So I know what to believe in. When things hit the fan, I know where to put my trust. I know what to value and I know who I am. And because of that, because I know myself, not completely, but I'm working on it, the mental health is rising and you can do the same. So number one, why do people struggle with mental health? They're disconnected from themselves. Number two, they're disconnected from others. Disconnection from other people. Listen to what Chad had to say about this. Modern society is hyper-connected, but digitally starved relationally. Do you agree with that? Because of this, we think we're connected. We're not connected with people in the way we should be. We are relationally starved. Loneliness is at an all-time high, but we all have friends. Yeah, right. We lack deep, safe, honest relationships. Community has been replaced with competition. We're disconnected from each other. Listen, as your pastor, okay, this is so important for me. I don't have to be in a small group. We talk about small groups all the time around here. Why do we do that? Because we know you need to be in relationship with other Christians to be emotionally, mentally healthy. We don't do it because we think that you need something else on your schedule. As your pastor, no one tells me that I need to be in a small group, but I'm in two, and they meet weekly. One meets biweekly, the other one meets weekly. Why do I do that? It's so that I can be around people to process life, talk about life, process the scriptures, talk about important things, sharpen each other, so that I can stay on my game. You know what they did in the Bible, right? The first church in the book of Acts, when you open it up, this is why it's so important to read the Bible. In the book of Acts chapter 2, this is what we read. Watch this. It says, they worship together at the temple each day. What did we just get done doing? Worshiping together. If you've ever wondered why we do music in the front end of the service, it's because they did that in the first church. They worshiped together, right? And they also met where? In homes. And what did they do? They shared the Lord's Supper, they ate the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals. They were together and they were sharing. They were together and they were sharing, and they were being generous to each other. They were connecting with each other relationally. It's so important for human beings to have deep connectivity with other human beings in order to be mentally healthy. If you look at people who struggle with mental health, you know what they are? They don't have any friends. They're isolated. They're disconnected. They're by themselves, and so they're struggling. They're struggling with mental health. What is the worst possible thing you can do to a prisoner who's in jail? It's called solitary confinement. Why do they do that? Why do they take a prisoner out of the general population and put them by themselves? Probably because they can't be around other prisoners because they're trying to kill people, but it's also a form of punishment. The Bible says it is not good for man to be alone. It is so critical for you to have someone in your life who understands your pain, who understands your journey. In fact, I wrote it like this in your notes. This is not chat, this is me. There's almost nothing more healing than the presence of another person who simply understands what you're going through. That's why I'm in a small group. I'm not doing this thing by myself. If I try to pastor this church by myself and I don't tell anybody how I feel about things, I'm gonna lose my mind. I'm just telling you. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but last week, not everyone loved my sermon. Just a little insight there. And so we had to process all of that, and that's a heavy weight, and people are upset, and you know, it's like, wow, okay, how do I process that? If I don't talk about that, process that, and keep it all inside, I'm probably gonna get angry. I'm probably gonna get cynical. I'm just telling you. And the way I guard against anger and cynicism is this: hey guys, this is what I'm dealing with. Like, it's kind of stinky. Like, what do you think? Any advice, any help? I'm not doing this by myself. So I'll talk. Talk to my group, talk to the staff, talk to my friends. Because you are not designed to go through this life alone. But people who are struggling with mental illness, they block people out, they cut people off. They are not connected with other people. So disconnection from self causes mental illness. Disconnection from others causes mental illness. What else? Number three, disconnection from purpose. Disconnection from purpose. It is so important for a human being to know their purpose, because purpose equals meaning. Listen to what Chat says. I love this, he was spot on. Humans seem to be wired to need a why. He knows humans. Like, Chad knows humans. We need a why to live for. Without a why, it feels like life is hollow. In a culture obsessed with productivity, fame, and material success, many people never get to discover or pursue a meaningful existence. And then he says this, watch this, the result of a purposeless life, a rise in depression, anxiety, and existential despair. Nihilism, there's no point to it all. There's no purpose. Why go on? And it explains a lot of what we're seeing in our world today. People just lack purpose. And when you open up the Bible, again, that's why I keep going back to this book provides the answers. I'll just give you one example about purpose. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this, for we are God's masterpiece. You, this is talking about you in particular. You're his work of art, and he's created you anew in Christ Jesus so that you could, I love this point. Just let this sink in for a second. So that you could do the good things that he has planned for you long ago. Do you believe that? I do. See, I believe long, long, long ago, God wanted me to become a preacher. I do. And in this very moment, to the best of my ability, with the energy I have and the brain capacity I have and my connectivity to him, I am actually walking in God's purpose for my life. So when it comes to my mental health and I'm thinking through, you know, life and how difficult it is and it's challenging and the presence of evil and all that's going on in our world today, I know my purpose. And it's to step into the moments to help and provide value and add assistance wherever God wants me to add it. You know what last week really was? Last week I called an audible and I talked about some ideas. I talked about the ideas that I had in my mind that were helping me to be mentally strong. That's what last week's sermon was. It was really for me. I started thinking, God, man, this is crazy. Charlie gets assassinated. It's crazy. What's going on? What do we do? What do I do? Here's what God said. Danny, remember, this world is not your home. Remember that. Remember, enemy-occupied territory. There are evil forces in this world. Remember, you're supposed to overcome evil with good. Remember that last week? And remember, death is not the end. Death is not the end. That was those thoughts that I shared with you last week. That was my mental health kicking in, processing what I was seeing in the world. And I knew it helped me, so I'm like, it's gonna help somebody else. And that's what you guys heard last week. I was walking in my purpose. Now, like I said, not everybody's gonna like your purpose. That's okay, that's just part of life. You gotta process that too. But your life has meaning. Your life has purpose. Look, you don't even need to be a Christian to know this. I don't know. Anybody like Marcus Aurelius? I'm a huge Stoic philosophy fan. And he wrote a book called Meditations like almost 2,000 years ago. And in fact, he was the Roman emperor, AD 161 to 180. And he wasn't a Christ follower. In fact, he was kind of mean to Christians. But look what he said in his book, Meditations. Humans were made to help others. And when they do help others or help them to do something, we're doing what we were designed for. We perform our function. You don't even need to be a Christian to understand the purpose of a human being. God put you on this planet to do specific things to add value to other people. And when you do that, it gives your life meaning and your mental health rises. Amen? Amen? Disconnection from self, disconnection from others, disconnection from purpose. Let's talk about this last one. No, I got two more, sorry. Disconnection from reality. This is a huge one. Disconnection from reality. We've got a lot of people running away from reality, living in fantasy world. Listen to what Chad says here. This is so spot on for our culture today. We often live in fantasy, whether through social media, distraction, or denial. We resist suffering, avoid stillness, and fear facing the truth. But mental health requires confronting reality, not escaping it. Much of our suffering comes from resisting what is, what's going on. What did we do last week? We dealt with what was going on. We faced the truth of reality, rather learning how to face it with courage and wisdom. Mentally strong people, they don't run. They don't go put their head in the sand. They're like, nah, okay, I got to deal with this. I just lost my job. What do I do? I got to deal with this. Just found out my husband cheated on me. He had a porn addiction. Okay. What do I do? How do I deal with it? We don't run to drugs or run to social media or run to get away. No, we're like, we face it head on and say, this is bad. This hurts. This is painful. But how do I cope with it and how do I deal with it? And people just don't like to do that. It's uncomfortable. Requires courage to face the truth. In fact, a guy named Mark Anderson, I can't say his last name because it sounds so much like mine, but I think it's Andreessen, Mark Andreessen, back when the internet became, you know, when, what's his name created the internet? What's his name? Yeah, Al Gore. Back when Al Gore created the internet, Mark came alongside and helped him out. No, but legitimately, Mark actually helped the internet become accessible to us. He really was part of it. Here's a picture of Mark. Looks like a nice guy. Looks like he means well. But what he recognized was that people do not like to live in reality. They like to escape reality. So listen to what he said about his work on the internet. We should build, and we are building, online worlds that make life and work and love wonderful for everyone, no matter what level of reality deprivation they find themselves in. What is he saying here? This is our world. He's recognizing that most people don't like to live in the real world. So let's create some online worlds through the internet or video games or goggles, fantasy football, or pornography, so that everybody can be happy. Not just a few who are well off, but everyone. Let's make pretend worlds where there's no pain and no sorrow, and you can just have whatever you want and have as much pleasure as you want. That creates mental unhealth. When you pick up the Bible, I'm so glad we have it. I'm gonna talk about the Bible all the time. I think it's our source of mental health as well as many other things as well. But this is what we read in Proverbs chapter 14. Watch this. The prudent or the wise person understands where they're going. They understand their world. They understand what's going on, that there's evil and there's good and there's God and there's a devil and who they are and the role. There's a story unfolding. The prudent understands the way or their way, but fools deceive themselves. Fools live in an alternative reality. They escape through drugs or alcohol or social media or some other mechanism to get away from dealing with life. Maybe one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It was the first verse that I ever memorized when I was like 18, 19 years old. Somebody handed it to me and said, this will change your life. Here's what it says. The Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, or if there's anything worthy of praise, then he says this, think about these things. He starts out in the first, with the first word in this verse. If we can go back one slide. It's true. What's true? You know what last week was? What's true? This world's not our home. Death is not the end. We overcome evil with good. That's the truth. So what does a mentally strong person do? They get down to the truth of what's going on. What is true in this world? What is true in my life? And they work on that, and they work on that. Did you know that you have the power to choose your thoughts? Did you know that? That God has given you the ability to use a filter to make sure that your thinking is true and right and just and pure and lovely and excellent, and think about things that are worthy of praise. What would happen if all of your thoughts fit within this framework? Everything you thought. It's crazy. We think, like some experts say, we think like 50,000 thoughts a day. What if all of them fell within these categories? Honorable, just. How do you think your mental health would be doing? But here's what we do as Americans, because we think, you know, we're free. And we are free, thankfully. But hey, this is America. I can think about whatever I want to think about. That's freedom. You are free to think about whatever you want to think about. But you're not free from the consequences of thinking about that. Oh, and there are consequences. We like to think about whatever we want to think about. And so we take in garbage through our phones, movies, music, garbage, 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 garbage. We take in garbage through some of our friends, let them speak garbage, 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 garbage. We watch garbage, we watch garbage. Then we don't feel good. And we're like, what's the problem? I'm kind of mad. I'm kind of angry. I'm kind of jealous. I'm really anxious. Well, what do you think's gonna happen if you're filling your mind with garbage? I love what Zig Ziglar, remember old Zig Ziglar? Some of you don't remember him. He used to say, garbage in, garbage out, right? He would call it stinking thinking. Remember that? Anybody remember that? Stinking thinking. Stinking thinking leads to a stinky life. You have the power over your thoughts and your mind, and you have to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus, amen? That is your responsibility. So I've been doing this stuff for 20 years. I didn't even know I was working on my mental health. Longer than that, 25 years. This whole time I'm going Philippians 4:8. Get that thought out. I'm not thinking that thought. Satan throws a thought in my mind. I take it and throw it out. I'm throwing thoughts out. Whatever's true, noble, right. Just I'm thinking. Well, why is my mental health an A? Because I've been working at this thing for years, for over 2 decades. And you can do the same thing. See, we think, we feel, and we act. You have to take control of your thoughts. Okay, so what have we said so far? Mental health comes from a disconnection from self, disconnection from others, disconnection from your purpose, disconnection from reality. Let's talk about this last one. I'm really surprised chat put it in there. Disconnection from the sacred. Disconnection from the sacred or the transcendent. Listen to what chat said. So interesting. Even people who don't follow religion often feel a hunger for something beyond some transcendent source of truth, love, and peace. When we deny that spiritual hunger or chase counterfeits like substances, alcohol, drugs, whatever, pornography, status, pleasure. Then chat said this. This is so insightful. I couldn't agree more. When we do that, our souls remain unsatisfied. You were created by God for God. But we live in a world today that teaches us that there is no God. We live in a world today where we send our kids off to Ball State or IU or whatever school they go to. I went to NYU my first year of college. I heard it all from my professors. These really smart guys with all these PhDs or letters behind their name, they get up in front of all these 18, 19-year-olds and they say, you evolved from a tadpole. And that little tadpole, which we really don't know where that came from, but we know it was there, that tadpole grew legs, Well, first it grew fins and started to swim, and then the fish grew legs and started to crawl and became a lizard. And that lizard, we don't really understand all this, but that lizard got hairy and bigger, became a monkey, and that monkey is you. Now, we laugh at that, but that's what you're paying for your college kids to go hear and learn. Not as a theory, but as a fact. And if you don't hold that position of evolution, you are labeled as naive, as if, you know, would they equate belief in God to belief in Santa Claus. And so I'm sitting at NYU as a freshman in college, and I'm hearing these professors talk. They're making me feel about this small because I have faith in Jesus. And that's ridiculous as an explanation, a practical working philosophy for life. But they're teaching it as if it's true, right? The leading atheist, Richard Dawkins, well, one of the leading atheists in our country today, has written many books. His name is Richard Dawkins. This is what he had to say in one of his books. This is where the professors get their teachings from. Humans have always wondered about the meaning of life. Of course we have, because that's built into us. Even he noticed that. But his answer is this. Life has no higher purpose than to perpetuate the survival of DNA, because that's what Darwin taught. It's all a big explosion that created tadpoles. And then it's survival of the fittest from there on. That's the only purpose of life, is to make sure your DNA passes on. Life has no design, no purpose, no evil, no good. I wonder what Richard thinks about the events of the last week, 2 weeks. Could he say it was wrong? No, he can't. There's no purpose to life. There's no moral law. And then he says this, life is nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. That is what our colleges teach our students. Where do you go with that? As a 18, 19, 20-year-old, and you're searching for meaning of life, how do I do my life? How do I build my life? And you're being taught, no, nothing matters. No evil, no good. Pitiless indifference. Well, no wonder we're seeing the world that we're in today. We're literally educating our college students to live out nihilism, which is purposelessness and meaningless. Yes. Some of you may know who David Foster Wallace is. Here's a picture of David. Back in 2005, he gave a commencement speech at a secular school. It was so good. It's actually on YouTube. I've watched it 3 times. It's called This Is Water. He's not a Christian, not a person of faith, and this was not a Christian environment where he was speaking. But he was a professor and an incredible author, brilliant guy. He wrote a book called Infinite Jest. It's 1,000 pages. I have not read it. But I do have it on Audible. In this commencement speech, he said something that was so good, I wrote it in my journal. Now, I only write really good quotes in my journal. Bear with me here, because it's a little bit long. This is right out of the commencement speech. He says this, in the day-to-day trenches of life, there's actually no such thing as atheism. Now, remember, his audience is secular, college students, they're graduating, getting ready for life. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. Then he says this, an outstanding reason for choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship, be it JC, gives Jesus a little shout out there, or Allah, be it Yahweh, or the Wiccan mother goddess, don't know who that is, or the Four Noble Truths, or some infrangible set of ethical principles, is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap meaning in life, you'll never have enough. Never feel that you have enough. It's the truth. Worship your own body and beauty and sexual allure, and you'll always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally plant you. On one level, we all know this stuff. It's been codified as myths, proverbs, cliches, epigrams, parables, the skeleton of every great story. The trick is keeping this truth up front in our daily consciousness. You were made with needs that only God can meet. And it's only through deep connection with Him that you will ever find a healthy mind and a healthy soul. And that is the absolute truth. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman at a well. She's there to avoid the crowds because she was a woman with a poor reputation. She had five husbands and she was working on the sixth husband. And Jesus has an appointment with her. She gets to the well, he gets to the well, he strikes up a conversation with her. And then Jesus says this to her. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. Now, he was talking about the water in the well, but he was also talking about the water she was drinking to find satisfaction through relationship. Five husbands, working on a sixth. Anyone who looks outside of themselves for satisfaction will be thirsty again. That's what he's saying. You with me? Yes? But those who drink the water that I will give him will never thirst again. Something will happen if you drink this water. Watch. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them, say it with me, eternal life. David Foster Wallace gave that talk in 2005 at a college graduation. He was so close. He was right there. He knew he was made for something beyond pleasure and money and materialism. And listen, if you love that stuff, pay attention, okay? Nothing wrong with it. It's not sinful. You just can't turn it into an idol. He was so close. 3 years later, he lost track of his own teaching, could not find Jesus, and he killed himself. Brilliant man. He was 46. Prolific writer. Brilliant mind. Right there. I'm 48. I'm like, gosh, I've lived 2 years longer than him. He never found the water that could satisfy that thirst he knew he had. How about you? Jesus comes to give you something that nothing in this world could ever satisfy. Eternal life. St. Augustine, who's one of the greatest Christians to ever live, he put his finger on this truth perfectly. Listen. He says, oh God, you've made us for yourself. And our heart is restless until it finds rest in you. Can you believe that ChatGPT knows this? That we are made for a spiritual hunger. We are made for something beyond ourselves. ChatGPT knows what the Bible says about how you and I were created and what we were made for. I find that fascinating. Do you know? Have you found Christ? What have we said today? Mental health comes down to, at least our part of mental health comes down to being connected to who we are, knowing who we are, being connected to others in deep relationship, connecting to your purpose, which is to be of value to humanity, living in reality and learning how to cope with what is real, taking control of your mind, and connecting to the transcendent, connecting to the sacred, connecting and drinking in that living water that comes from Christ. My question to you today is simple. Where do you need to reconnect? Where have you been dropping the ball? Are you disconnecting from people? Disconnecting from who you are? Are you trying to escape from reality through drugs and alcohol or pornography? This is your life. You've got to get on this. Sometimes people will come up to me and say, Pastor Danny, you're in really good shape. Can you show me how to do that? And what they're looking for is a quick 14-day turnaround. That's what they want. But they don't know that I've been going to the gym 6-7 days a week for 10 years. Maybe longer. I really don't miss. And I train my body and I work my body. And guess what? I do the same thing with my mind. I don't miss. Every morning I wake up and I treat my mental workout the same way I treat my physical workout. And I'm like, in this book, drinking in the water, making sure I'm thinking truth, connecting with other people, making sure I'm getting stinking thinking out, getting the good thinking in, and guess what? That leads to a really healthy mind. You with me? Somebody say amen. You with me? Amen. This, you can do something about this. Where do you need to connect? Where have you been disconnected? Take this message and put it into practice. In fact, this isn't even a sermon, guys. This is a way of life. This is what you need to do every single day. Now, as I wrap up, I know we're a little bit over time, so there's some of you here today, you're watching at a campus online, some of you here. You need to take the first step, and that is to drink in the living water. Here's what Jesus said. I'll go back to it. He said, anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. It will become in him, a what? A bubbling spring of water of eternal life. Some of you need that right now. Jesus is calling your name today, and he's calling you into a relationship with himself. If he were here today, he would say, look, I've taken care of everything. I've died for your sins. I stretched out my arms. I became sin for you. The curse of sin was put on me, and then I came back from the dead, conquering the penalty of sin and death so that you could be with me and find life and eternal life and find meaning and purpose and peace. And you've been looking for it, and you're here today, and this is your moment now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Put your trust in him today. Ask him to be your savior. He'll forgive your sins and you'll become his child today. Take these words and make them your own. Reach out to him in prayer. Just say this, dear Jesus, I trust you today. I put my faith in you today. I drink in the living water. Forgive my sins. Wash me clean, make me new. I believe you died for me and you also rose again to cancel the penalty of sin held against me. I don't really understand all this stuff, but I do know I trust you. Satisfy my aching soul, my thirsty soul with the living water, with yourself. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, there's rejoicing in heaven and there's rejoicing in this place. Come on. Woo. You guys keep hearing me talk about the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Listen, when I first got saved, someone put a Bible in my hands and I started reading it. So I want to do the same thing as our church wants to do the same thing. If you would text the word saved to 65248, and you can grab a Bible in this box. If you text that word at the information desk at your campus, grab it, read it. I don't want to see this at Half Price Books two weeks from now, okay? So begin taking it in, reading it every single day. One more time, church. Can we give God glory? Amen. Hey, God is on the move. God is stirring hearts. There is a movement going, not just in our church, but across the country. There's sort of an awakening. I don't know if you guys have seen it or you've sensed it, but it's certainly happening. Next week, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to ask Chat a very, very interesting question. Chat, is it more plausible for this whole thing to be an accident, the byproduct of a big explosion of the Big Bang, or is there intelligent design? And we're just gonna prompt it that way and see what he spits out. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So if you have a friend who's an atheist, agnostic, next week would be a great sermon for them. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week. Bring a friend.